Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, welcome back to another fabulous episode of the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and me, Danny. And today's really special again because we have a very special and, may I say, queen-like persona in the house.
Yes.
Meadow, welcome to the Trim Healthy Podcast.
It's like our mother just... You know, Honey, I Shrunk My Mother.
Honey, I Shrunk My Mom.
Hey, Meadow is my daughter, everybody. For those of you who don't know, I just took a picture of it. Maybe I'll put it on Facebook. Meadow does all our social media for our fan page, for our Instagram, for our what, Meadow? Do we tweet?
No, not usually. That's Facebook and Instagram.
Tweet because we have too much to say.
Yeah.
You can't put it in.
You need more than two sentences.
Yeah.
But to just make sense of the Honey, I Shrunk My Mother, she is redhead like our mom and very queenly like our mom, very sophisticated, so much more sophisticated than us peeps.
Yeah, I don't know how I grew a daughter.
How'd
Did
you
I
grow this daughter?
I raised sprouted it. I raised a daughter so full of grace in class and Charlie and I, we're so blessed to have Meadow, beautiful daughter now, a beautiful mother. And wife, and watching her just, I don't know, grow into the adult she has become. I learn a lot from her.
Listen, I can't believe it because I lived with Pearl and her husband,
you
Charlie.
You don't get to talk, by the way, Meadow.
Yeah. You know, Meadow.
She
but
will.
I lived with Pearl and Charlie when Meadow was a baby.
Yeah.
Because we were signed to a record company together, Pearl and I, and we did the music thing. And so Meadow used to have her naps inside the open velvet plush part of Pearl's guitar case. Always open, of course.
Yeah, we were on the road and that's where she slept, in my guitar
case.
And the
cocoon part of the Ovation guitar, little velvet. It was so cute. So this was the baby that I felt like I was second mummy to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so odd because it was very surreal that Meadow and I, we had our pregnancy together and now our little babies are like 4 days apart. So she's like a baby to me, but here she is growing up having babies when I'm having babies. It's really
strange. Serene, that means you've been having babies a long time.
Yeah, so listen up, peeps, and grab all my non-wisdom about it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and so Meadow is actually staying at my house for a few days while her husband went on a work trip. And so I'm like, yay, Meadow, we finally got you for a podcast. What do you want to talk on? And I had this idea. I'm like, hey, let's talk on parenthood because a lot of people have asked us about parenthood and you could say how wonderful I am and stuff like that. No, I was just saying, but you can just talk about, you know, how we were all raised differently. And then she's like, no, Mom, no. I really want to talk about body image.
Ooh. Body image.
So, I mean, I think Meadow's got something to bring today. And then we were having this fun little argument beforehand, and I want to continue it with you, Serene.
Oh, an argument.
Yeah, good old mother and daughter
Sounds
one.
Nice
yeah, we just have fun arguments every now and then.
The disagreements.
Well, I feel like that's the spice of life. I wouldn't call them arguments.
No, we were still smiling and loving each other. But
yeah.
Speaking of body image, I'm just going to curl this 20-pound weight.
He
while
actually
we're talking.
Literally is.
He brought a weight to the potty,
because there's just no time.
Your Danny's usually doing push-ups because what if you could? What if you could work and also get your workout in at the same time?
I haven't worked out in a month because I'm trying to finish this dang book.
What if you could?
And I'm shriveling up. I get tiny and scrawny if I don't.
Yeah, don't blame the book. Oh, my goodness. Blame game. Hey,
back to the point.
Let's talk about body image because, Meadow, it's a big one. Serene and I have come through years.
I think only now we're actually floating with it.
Yeah, hating us.
Not
hating ourselves, just calling ourselves names, things like mm-hmm. this. And I know that you, as a young woman in this crazy cultural society, have something to say. So platform is yours, Meadow.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I've been learning and growing in a lot, too. And I've still just recently, like I had to come to a big revelation about how I was viewing body image in an unhealthy way. And I've realized that there are a couple of different types of extremes these days that people have to body image that are just unhealthy. And one of them is the extreme, like, oh, we need to accept ourselves and just be happy for ourselves, even if, like, we're, say, really unhealthy. People are on this train today where they're like, oh, just accept that. That's who you are. Love yourself, on the whole love yourself train. Mm-hmm. And so we know that that's one extreme, which isn't always healthy because we have to take care of our bodies because our bodies are temples. And then there's this other side where women today feel these huge pressures to have unrealistic body expectations. Mm-hmm. And so that can really drive us to insecurities and obsessive drives to, like, try to fix ourselves and sometimes, like, become anorexic or just have eating disorders. And
or
that's
even,
another
even things like
extreme.
Even if it's not an extreme, like scale watching
or workout obsessions
or the things we call ourselves, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, I had PCOS. And so I was a little bit heavy. Like, I wasn't maybe overweight, but I was just a little bit chubby. And there were these last few pounds that I just couldn't shed, even though I was trying really hard.
Yeah, you even did. You were even hardcore Trim Healthy Mama.
Yeah.
Hardcore, like way harder core than I would. You know me, everybody.
I can
go off plan sometimes, get right back on. It didn't affect me. And poor you. You would have one off-plan meal the next day, be 5 pounds off and bloated, and it was hard for you, okay? So
yeah, I was doing the fuel cycles, and I was working out, and I was, like, really, really taking good care of my body and trying to be a good steward, but I still wasn't shedding the excess weight because my body still hadn't healed. And so I was insecure about that, and I kept thinking, you know, if only I could lose these last few pounds, and then I would be happy. Then I'd be happy with myself. And then eventually, when I was in my 20s, I did lose those few pounds because I was healed, which is amazing, and I owe that to God. But I still found reasons to be insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was insecure. Because I was insecure because then now I was thin, but I didn't have my old curves.
Right.
And so I still wasn't perfect. Uh-huh. And so then I started wishing, man, I just wish I could be thin, but I could still have the curves that I used to have.
Yeah.
And so I found that through every stage of my life, I've always found something to be insecure about.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I've realized recently that I have made body image an idol. And a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my husband about what I thought was a flaw of something about my appearance. And I was just pouting to him about it. And I was like, honey, I need to fix this. And he's like, okay, well, we could do that. But if you can't be happy until we fix this, then you're making that an idol. Because your joy has to come from God. And so I just realized that he was right. And I just humbly had to accept that from him. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I repented from that. Because really, our joy comes from God. And if we say, oh, I can't be happy until I lose this weight, or I can't be happy until I fix my teeth, or I can't be happy until I do this and that, then it becomes an idol, because then we are saying our happiness comes from what we look like.
Yeah.
So then really we're worshiping our perfect image instead of the image of God. You know, God is our joy, but if we can't be happy until we are worth it, worth worshiping.
Right. You
know? We are worth worshiping.
But you know, something you said that even 2 weeks ago you noticed this about yourself, but I do have to say something about you, and Serena and I talk about this all the time. This is not just something you've come into since your 20s, I think. You've been growing in this because you've been very firm about not being, you know, I'm your mom, and I'm Trim Healthy Mama author, and you know, and I'm even a little bit thinner than you, but that's just my body frame. But you have been very firm about not conforming to being obsessive about looking a certain way. You look very healthy, and you gained a certain amount of pounds with wonderful crossovers during your pregnancy. And it took you a while. It took you much longer to lose it than even I did or Serene, right? You had to watch Serene lose hers in the first week, basically. And you took months, but you said, Mama, I'm not going there. This is my journey. And you were strong and you never caved into.
And she lost it.
She did.
She looked
but you
amazing.
Never caved into the obsession of it. I was so proud of you because there's pressure, you being mm-hmm. the Trim Healthy Mama daughter, right? I mean, how did you withstand that then?
Well, because like you said, I had been growing in that. Yeah. And sometimes I still stumble and I still struggle. Yeah. But I was like, I had already been there before where yeah, I was okay, obsessive yeah. or really insecure, and I was allowing that to be depressed. Like yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, I was just depressed and I wasn't really happy with myself.
I hope I didn't put that on you because I would always encourage you.
it was not extreme depression, yes. but that's also like when I had PCOS, I had yeah. those hormonal issues
yes,
too.
Yes.
And I think that could have contributed to it. But it was also just like I hadn't spiritually learned to surrender that to God.
Right.
So that's something that I had to learn.
I love how you brought the balance, Meta, where you said there's two extremes here and you yeah. didn't want to be part of either, because I feel like that is the danger. People can say, hey, I don't want to be part of this, like self-worship, like I have to be perfect, extreme. So they flip the other way and then they don't care enough. And it's actually not about image anymore. It's about health. Their yeah. health starts to suffer because they don't mm-hmm. care enough
Would you say all girls struggle with body image at some point or another?
I don't know. I think that all women deep down have a desire to feel beautiful.
Mm.
And so probably most women are tempted to feel burdened to live up to those expectations that society puts on us, because that's society says that that's what a beautiful woman looks like. And we mm-hmm. as women want to feel beautiful. And so we're like, well, that's what I need to look like.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's very interesting what you said to me, Meta. You said that you were unhappy when you were a little heavier and then you were unhappier when mm-hmm. you lost your curves. Right. And I want to attest to that with Pearl and I, because a lot of people maybe they've come up to us and say, well, you know, I feel insecure and you probably can't really understand from where we're coming from. And Pearl and I have said, yes, we can. Just because we're thin doesn't mean we haven't been insecure. For me, that was one of my major insecurities. I'm a tall, straight up and down drink of water. And sometimes I've been like, well, I wish I had some umba umba.
Oh, yes. And umba, I wanted to talk about that.
Umba.
It's as if so many people in our society don't ever think that thin women could be insecure. Yeah. It's just like heavy women yeah. are insecure, and that's why we should never like make fun of curvy women and heavy women. And I so agree with that. But for the same reasons that we should not make fun of women for being heavy, we should not make fun of women for being thin. Mm-hmm. Like, it's rude to say to a thin woman, girl, you need to eat a hamburger, for the same reason that it's rude to say to a heavier woman, girl, you need to eat a salad.
So true.
Like, both of those
girl, you
hurt.
Need to get some behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like recently yeah. I saw an article on Facebook that really bothered me, and it was titled Why Men Who Are Married to Chubby Women Are Happier, or something like that. Mm. And what it was just doing was putting down a thin woman by saying, like, these are the reasons why heavy women are so much better and men are happier with them. And basically, some people think that it's okay to put down one group in order to feel good about it yourself or another.
I remember when you were just coming into this truth, Meadow, and it was just you were coming out of where it oppressed you. I remember this time, and you said to me, you called it something.
Body typism.
Yeah, like racism. You called it body typism.
Yeah, we all know, well, most people know in our society that racism is bad. You should never say that one race is better than another, and you shouldn't say that one gender is better than another. Mm. So then why is it okay in our society to say that one body type is better than another? Because God created all different kinds of body types, just like he created different races and the two genders, because God loves, he celebrates
diversity.
Differences. He celebrates mm-hmm. a variety. Like, would you compare a sunflower to a rose?
No, there's right. no comparison.
No,
different.
They're both beautiful, but they're both beautiful for different reasons. And so some women are like sunflowers and some women are like roses.
So true. And I think that for me, a lot of times, you know, I think we've so many of us have done this as women, is I'm not pear shape. I don't know what you call me, but I'm thin. But, you know, I've so many times it's like my only thing about it was Serena. I'd say, Serena, I'm thin, but I got me some thighs. And I said it in a really negative way.
Yeah.
Like, just why don't I have my sister's thighs? I would say, why can't I have your thigh? It's not fair. And it's like God's looking down. He's like, I gave you those thighs. All my life, ever since I was a little girl, I didn't like my thighs, you know? I had to come to the point, and it wasn't till in my 40s, this is like 3 years ago, yeah. Serene, I just looked at my thighs. I stopped hating them, and I'm like, I love you thighs. Because I'm doing my best, right, with my eating.
But actually, with your lens change, you actually do love them. It's not faking till you're making it anymore.
No, it's what if you could. Yeah. It's totally what if you could. What if I could love my thighs?
I think you'll actually physically see them different, too.
There's
been parts about me that I've micromanaged and been like, oh, man, if, like, dude, like you said, I'd be complete if. It's always that. If I could just move that way, and then it was that looked like his, then I would be like, I'd stop whatever. I don't even know what it is. I'd stop, but it's like I would be complete, I think. And when you start saying that to yourself, like, I love you thighs, or I, you know, for men, it's other stuff. It's not thighs, but I love, you know, all of a sudden it, you know, your bushy eyebrows will look different.
Exactly. And it's whatever like, it but is, what she know? Says, body typism, I don't go around saying, I'm white. I wish I was Spanish. Like, I wish
well,
I
that,
was
that's
Spanish.
Fair. Like, most people do
yeah,
wish.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I wish I was black. You know, Serene, you have black children, you have white children. Do they go around saying, I wish I was white like you, or I wish I was black like you? Why? Because that would be disgusting, right? God made us a certain way, and yet we women, we go around saying, I wish I was an hourglass, I'm pear. I'm a stinking pear shape.
But you know, and when we look at it, we look at the certain parts of our body that we hate, and we look at it with that hatred lens, they become so much more disgusting. They're actually beautiful. It could be, or maybe it is a flaw, but it becomes so much bigger when you go around with that lens, because I remember having nosorexia. My sister Pearl here is this beautiful Audrey Hepburn, very pointed, very, her nose is just daintily put in the center of her face. And I have more of a Scottish honker, right?
But it's not so a honker. See, what are you saying?
Our own worst critic. In pictures, my face was twice as long as Pearl's. And I had to put my pixie face next
you would
to her pixie.
It. Yeah.
In all of my life, my face is next to a pixie.
Yep.
So if it is longer, now it's looking like an egg, and all of a sudden, next to Pearl. So, but I remember having nosorexia, and when I looked in the mirror, I didn't look at the whole of me. I went straight to the nose.
You saw the nose.
So all I saw was the nose.
I can relate to that.
And so when I had this thing when I was trying to fix my diastases and trying to rehab my core, when I looked in the mirror, all I saw was a core that wasn't as tight as it could be. Mm-hmm. But now that I don't have that lens, I don't see anything out of place because I'm not looking directly in a microscopic way at the floor. I feel like that makes it so much worse.
Well, and it's kind of proof of this. Have you ever looked in the mirror one day and been disgusted, and then the next day nothing's changed, but for some reason you're like, the self-confidence is up. I'm beautiful today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is that? It's just your perspective.
It
it's literally
perspective.
Where your mind's at.
It's where we allow our minds to go. And that's really what you've come to, Meadow. You stopped allowing it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just figured, you know, I went through the whole postpartum season where my body had to take time to heal, and it didn't just bounce back like some women. I still feel like I still have a few leftover pounds I could lose. But what's the point of just letting that steal my joy?
Right.
Like, that doesn't help anything.
I feel like I've got there too, and you went there when you said when you got thin, you still had the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because it actually, the pounds weren't the issue anymore.
Yeah.
It was the listening to the lies was the issue.
Oh, yeah.
Because the enemy doesn't want us to be happy whether we're thin, whether we're fat. You got thin people who wouldn't be seen dead without their padded bra underneath their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You got the fat people that wouldn't see dead without the Spanx holding everything in. And so it's not about the body image, it's the lies. You were unhappy when you got thin.
And this
so
is
it was the lies that you're
really
allowing
interesting
yourself to
that, you know, women who get breast implants are actually at a higher risk for suicide because it doesn't fix the problem and it doesn't fix the insecurities.
Yeah. And these days, you know, there's nothing wrong.
Goosebumps.
There's nothing wrong, obviously.
Yeah.
I have friends with breast implants. I have family members, and who am I to judge?
Oh, yeah.
And these days, and it might start with it. And thank God for breast implants with all the cancer surgery that's gone on, you know. So, you know, I don't want to look down, but you're right there. That's just science. There's a higher incidence. And once you start with one thing, sometimes it just becomes, what next if I fix that?
And sometimes it's okay at the beginning.
but then it becomes where, like you said, it doesn't fix the unhappiness. So you have to do more and do more and do more, and then you get the Michael Jackson.
It depends where you're coming from, because exactly. I think it's great to like put on makeup and dress in beautiful clothes and dye your hair. It's just if you make that your identity, or if you make that if you're striving for happiness that way, then that's when it becomes an idol, and that's when it will never be enough.
Yeah.
I noticed my 5-year-old daughter, she's not struggling with body image, but she is conscious of pretty and beauty, mm-hmm. and she'll put on her little play lipstick. And I know some of that she's copying mom, but there is something different about my daughters than my sons. Mm-hmm. They seem to be more fixated with, like my daughter will come out, if she's like, she'll put on a real fancy, like almost costume kind mm-hmm. of ballroom dress. And when she enters the room, the whole family had better notice.
I know.
And pay attention, like the queen has entered mm-hmm. the room, right? And it's like, oh, hey. And if not, it's like she'll just keep doing little moves to get in front of you.
So you're saying we do have that innate thing in us.
Yes. But I think that's what Meta brought out at the beginning. It's okay. Every woman has a desire to feel beautiful.
Yeah. But God tells us how we are supposed to be beautiful because God knows, I believe that God knew that we women would struggle with this. Mm-hmm. And that's why he instructed us how our beauty should be, that it should be through our good works mm-hmm. and what we do. And true beauty comes from the heart. And he knew that if we obsess about the clothes that we wear and body image, then it will become unhealthy and it will become this extreme.
You know what else the body image thing is feeling beautiful in your heart is great, but it doesn't give you the stroke that you get when others are noticing your beauty. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to having your identity in the opinions of people.
Yeah.
And so you can feel beautiful in your heart all you want, but if you're not happy with your face or your body, all that means is you're not happy with the world's perception mm-hmm. of you, the world's how you identify in the world. And if the only way you identify is through your body, mm-hmm. There's got to be a digging deeper, I think.
And where's the balance? We're all of you listening are doing, most of you, I think, doing this Trim Healthy Mama to get healthier, most of you to get trimmer. And, and I see the before and after pictures come in. And, sometimes I think, well, what do I say? Astounding. Look, when I see the 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds difference, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I see two beautiful women. But what I see is the emerging of that beauty coming through even stronger. The emerging of who God created, the features, the beautiful features pop. They're not like someone else's features, but they were being covered up. Okay, now we all need some womanly fat because that's beautiful too. But when there is excess, when it drops, out comes these God-given features and they're exposed. Well, and I think that is beauty.
And that's our gift. And sometimes that God-given features is a pear shape revealed.
Yes.
And sometimes those God-given features is an hourglass whittled waist that's revealed. It can be all different. And it's not like you're saying, oh, great nose job. You look better now.
No.
No, we're saying.
It was like, there you are.
Look at the way you created. Look what God gave you. Isn't that awesome?
Yes. And then other extreme. When you've got food disorders or when you get to that goal weight, but you're like, oh, that next 5 pounds and then that next 5 pounds, but I can go lower. And then that's an obsession that's destroying our bodies. My husband always tells me, because I'm Serena and I now in the public eye, every picture and everything people are going to look at and analyze. And sometimes I think, well, do they really think I'm thin enough to be a trim, healthy mama author? These thoughts go through my brain
a lot. Right there, yeah.
Are they really going to think I'm thin enough? Maybe I should go on fuel cycles and lose 10 more pounds and be ultra bony. And then they'll think trim, healthy mama works better. These thoughts go through my head.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm trim, but I'm not skinny. And then I say, my husband, do you think? And he's like, don't you dare. Yeah. He's like, there's healthy. And then there's being obsessive.
Well, mm-hmm. it's feeding a demon.
Yeah.
You start with it and it doesn't quit. The thoughts of perfection. Perfectionism never leads to happiness.
It's perfection. That's when we all get into the gutter, and that's when we lose it.
But interesting,
right?
What did you say? what will they think?
Yeah,
of the term healthy mama author. See, yeah. that's the body identity crisis.
They think.
It's not how, who am I? What am I doing?
So true,
it's
Denny.
What will they think?
That and if we're thinking that, you know we're on the wrong track.
And maybe
right?
a couple of extra crossovers, right? Maybe you know, a real piece of Aunt Marge's pie on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's going to bring happiness to you in a better quality of life than if you constantly did a fuel cycle on the dot every month or every second, blah, 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 blah. Maybe you could be that 5 pounds down, but maybe that's a miserable 5 pounds down.
Yeah, and let me talk straight.
We're not talking about unhealthy weight here. No. We're talking about just what we think is perfection.
Let me talk a slight bit straight here. Caring about what other people think is a real fast path to mediocrity.
Yes.
So true.
Mediocrity, being like the crowd, blending in, fitting in with the masses. What do you want with your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what are your goals? What are you doing? What's the unique creative you in the earth? Mm-hmm. Asking what will they think sabotages all that.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
What it really comes down to is doing this to honor God, because we are temples and we belong to God. And that's why when we lose weight and when we take care of our bodies, we're not just doing this for, we shouldn't be doing this for pride and for
Bingo.
Vanity.
Yes.
We should be doing this to glorify God. Because
what would you say, and I know you're going to go into scriptures because she brought meat today, Serene, but what would you say then to the people who don't necessarily Bible readers that are listening
to
us?
Can I just say something because it was bingo just for 1 second? Because when sometimes I go to areas where health is not at all thought of.
Okay.
Sometimes I
grieve. In our county, you mean?
No, I'm not going there. Serious. Okay. But sometimes I grieve.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put myself in God's mind because God's mind's too amazing and he may not be thinking thoughts unfit. But sometimes I think, have we distorted what God created so much where where it looks so painful for people to get around, where they look so pale and pasty and so lifeless and almost like corpses out of a coffin? I start to grieve for God.
I start to grieve for the human race.
And so I see what you're saying there, Meadow. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be about our thing for pride, but to glorify him. Is it glorifying God to look so sick?
Oh, of course it's not. Of course it's not. And that's why I think so many women are on this journey, because they like, I want to have the energy again so I can be a light. I can be a light to my family. I can be a light to my work co-workers. Before you go there, I know you've brought some stuff. What do we say to people? I know you're going to bring scriptures and we're saying we're a temple, we're glorifying God. But what about to people, you know, who are not yet where we're at in their beliefs? You know, this is still a major truth for happiness and for soundness of mind and for health in the body. When we are following this perfection, it brings obsessiveness, which raises cortisol, which pulls down our health.
I know what I would say. Look at history. If you don't want to look at scripture where we're going, look at history. Look at the famous LA Hollywood people have died almost ugly because it's a phenomenon of nature, what ends up being on their face and their body because of how perfectionism and unhappiness, where it led.
And guess what they were thinking? I know what they were thinking. They were thinking that thought that has crossed my mind sometime, but what will people think? Will people think, you know, people
especially in the acting industry is, you know, they're face is not only their identity, but it's also their tool to make money.
I know, but they start out so beautiful.
Oh, I know. And then it's like a stretched cat or something. I mean, it's like the motive to wreck. I don't think anyone sets out to wreck their bodies. It's they're setting out to answer the question, what will they think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bring it, Meadow.
Well, I was going to say that God says that we are created for his glory. And Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And Psalms 139, verses 13 to 14 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." The Hebrew word for wonderfully is pala, and it means to distinguish, put a difference, show marvelous, separate, set apart, and sever and make wonderfully. So God wants us to be different. He doesn't want us to compare ourselves.
If you can't fit into the genes that are out there for everyone to fit into, great, you're set apart.
Yeah, no, us, Serene, we don't fit into it. We're different body types,
I know,
you and
I. Can't sit down in your genes.
I know, we're different. You know what? You brought the scripture up. This is amazing. We've never said this before. This is a big secret. We might as well reveal it now. Our new makeup line coming out in the new year. It's called Made, M-A-D-E, and it comes from that scripture. Underneath it says wonderfully, fearfully, wonderfully. And it's that because we're just representing ourselves in this unique way that he made us. And so it's from that direct scripture. And I didn't know you were going to bring that scripture.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. I can't wait. But yes, you were mentioning that we should all be healthy. Well, healthy is going to look different on everyone.
So true.
For some women, healthy means that they're going to be a little bit curvier than other women. And it would be unhealthy for them to try to be skinny if that's not what their body's designed to do. And for other women, healthy means that they're naturally more petite and thinner than some curvy women.
Some women goal weight, literally a healthy goal weight and what they should shine at is size 12. Yes. I'm telling you.
And I'm telling you.
And some women, literally what they shine at is size 2 to 4.
And can I just tell you too? Don't compare what you eat as well, because I have a little Vision. We call him Vision Little Legs. He's the skinniest little ectomorph in our family. Bless his soul. What if you could? He might be a giant. He might be Gaston when he grows up, right? But my point being, he eats circles around my other bigger sons.
Yeah.
Circles. Maybe your metabolism makes you crave more calories on your plate. Don't make that think that you're a pig.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like a pig when I'm stay with Pearl all day because I could eat circles around her, not just when I'm nursing and just other times. But we're all different. I have more muscle on my body, which makes me want to eat more.
And you're a breastfeeding mother.
Right.
I can understand.
Right now, yes. But the point being is, allow yourself difference in the way you fuel your body as much as the way you accept your body.
I know. And it's so true. Like this morning, Meadow was saying, you know, we had breakfast together and then it was like two and a half hours later. She's like, "Mom, you got any snacks?" But I was like, I'm so used to not snacking in the morning. I do snack in the afternoon. I was like, "Oh, yeah, you're hungry? What?" She's a nursing mom. I mean, the difference is incredible with what our bodies and stages of life and the amount of calories we're burning all day can do to our appetites.
I was really hungry.
Yeah.
I wasn't offering anything. Just because I was bored.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, I must be just bored. Serene, you can't just live to eat. Like, man should not live by bread alone. Just go and have a bit of a scripture, a bit of spiritual bread, Serene. And I can't even focus on the word because I'm like just thinking about Gouda cheese and all that stuff.
I love your original point, Meadow, about the extremes, you know, because it's so easy to have one-liner quotes on social media that seem to promote accepting yourself just the way you are. Mm-hmm. And then you turn the page and there's a one-liner quote about
what's your excuse?
Putting in the work. Yeah, what's your excuse? You're going to hustle? You're going to get up and rise and grind?
So true, Jenny.
So there's these two extreme messages. And I think part of the folly of youth is always trying to pick which extreme camp will I belong to?
Can you bring That's the so goods true. Or what, Danny?
Yeah, and can I say something too?
Truth right there.
You know, I've known some people that have been blessed with many attributes that aren't necessarily the perfect picture of modelness, right? But boy, do I want to be around them. And boy, do the beauty shine to the point where I'm just like, you are just dripping from the beauty tree, right? And then you find that perfect person. And they're just harsh, they're bitter, they're crass or whatever. And it's just like all of it fades away, right? And then I want to say, and I hope this is not out of place, but, you know, when I saw my beautiful son, who was so good looking to begin with.
Arden.
And have, you know, just the ravages of disease, what it did. But he was
Hold
still.
Hold on, Serene, there's always new people in the room because not everyone knows the story.
Okay, well, he's totally healed, so praise God. But he was battling cancer and it took him down to Jewish concentration camp where very fast.
Yeah.
And
he was very
like,
skinny.
And it was like, but you know what? I want to shout out to his wonderful wife.
Yeah.
Because my dad said to Esther, his wife, one day, "Oh, you're getting your handsome husband back now, aren't you, Esther?" When he was starting to get better. And she's like, Granddad, and this is not anything against Granddad. Yeah. He was just proud that Arden was coming back to full strength. She's like, he has always been handsome to me.
Oh, yes.
When you are beautiful in the inside, there is nothing. There's nothing that can steal that. And I'm looking at my mum and dad now, they're almost 80s, you know, and I don't see him any different than the straight up and down Colin Campbell that when he was in his prime in his 40s, right? He's almost 80. And sometimes I'll look back at a picture and I'm like, oh,
he is
really, really, really gray haired now. And, and his hair really is thinning and blah, blah, blah. But I don't see him like that because he shines forth. So yes, Meadow, beauty has got to come from a different place.
Yes. And I am so glad that you brought up what Esther said about Arden, like that he has always been beautiful to her. Because I wanted to bring that up, that so many times I think it's so hard for our poor husbands who have to deal with the wives who are so insecure all the time. Because it's like sometimes, you know, I want assurance. Women, we love assurance from our husbands and we want to feel beautiful. So sometimes that's why I'll pout about my insecurities to my husband and I'm like,
fishing.
I want him to tell me that I'm beautiful.
Oh, no, this is good. I've learned here today.
And
Kendall is not a words person.
No,
very
but
much. He's
he
learning.
Is for me. Yeah. He can be really good at that for me. Okay. He can be a really good words person. He's learned how to speak beautifully to me.
Yes.
But sometimes, like, if I'm just in that mood, like, he'll say something to me and he'll try to assure me. And it's like, oh, thanks, honey. It's like sometimes we just kind of shove it off. Like, when our husbands try to tell us that we're beautiful and they try to make us feel better, sometimes we women, we decide that it's not enough and we just want to keep on being insecure and keep pouting about it. And we're like, oh yeah, I know he says that, but I still don't feel like I'm good enough. Mm. Imagine how that makes our poor husbands feel. Like they want us to be confident. They want us to feel
confidence
secure.
Is beautiful.
Mm. Yes, my husband is more attracted to me when I'm confident and he wants
That's
me to
point.
Be secure in his love for me and that he to really believe that he does think I'm beautiful. And I know that he doesn't think that I'm the most beautiful woman in the world because I'm the most physically beautiful, because I know I'm not. There's always going to be another woman more physically beautiful than me. But I'm the most beautiful woman to him because I'm his.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the truth right there.
And for the mamas on the journey, may I add, you're not one day going to be beautiful. It's just like the Arden thing.
Right.
It's not like when the cancer's gone, then he'll be handsome again.
Right.
When the 50 pounds are gone, then I'll be beautiful. It's not that, is it?
You're beautiful now.
Yeah.
In fact, if the belief that you're beautiful now will drive success forward more powerfully for you.
Yes.
If you want quick results, which I don't believe in, by the way. But if you are saying, I'd like faster results, they will not come through self-loathing and insecurity, self-doubt, questioning yourself, and identifying with the ugly, unhealthy person.
I just think it's like it's a mantra. Let's reveal this beautiful me. Well, you know, let it be revealed.
It's like there's some tent, right? Some yurt, like covering up this treasure inside. It's the treasure inside where that's the beauty. That's the gold. But on the so that's great. So we're not going to concentrate just on the outward beauty. We're going to think about what's in. However, we're not going to go burn the tent down.
Yeah.
Like and graffiti it all over and like rip it up with whatever, because that's just destructive and it's going to burn the inside eventually.
Mm-hmm. You know what it really comes down to? What both extremes really come down to? It's because we're obsessing over ourselves and we're always looking into ourselves instead of looking to God.
Yeah. So true. Hey, with that said, I don't think we have enough time to pull that argument we were having this morning, which was about eyelids. It could take 10 minutes. Aww. And we've got to do a superfood spotlight.
Hey, arguing is a little bit more fun than superfoods.
Well, can we argue for 1 minute, John, and then
debating.
Do a super? He told us to finish by 30 minutes and we're at 37.
Argue for 3 minutes.
We've got three minutes to argue.
3 minutes to argue and go.
Well, I was just saying, you know how Auntie Serene was going on about like her nose and how that's been something she's been kind of insecure about. And we just think it's silly because we're like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I've had this funny thing where I've kind of been insecure about my eyelids a long time.
Of all things.
She said this morning, this is what she said. She looked at her baby Warren. She said, I wonder if he's going to have my problem eyelids too. They're called.
I didn't say problem.
You said they're called. Oh, excess. I wonder if he'll have all this excess skin on his eyelids.
What?
And I said, what do you mean excess? You mean it's
there is a name for them. They're called the hooded eyelids.
No.
And she said, and I found ways to fix it, Mum, with makeup. And I'm like, you're fixing? What is this excess business? Who's labeled this?
That's completely. Like, let me give you a debate. Every time I used to sit in a makeup artist's chair, the first question I'd ask them is, what should I do to my eyebrows to widen my face so it doesn't look so long?
She'd go on and on.
You know what? And it was my total concentration. And every time they said, oh, no. You don't want, you want to go with what you're given. You don't trying to change illusions. They may make your face look wider, but it won't look as beautiful as if I just go with what. So I'm just I'm just filling in your eyebrows. I'm not actually going to change their shape because yes, it will widen it, but you're not meant to have a wide face.
Yeah.
And it's true. Your eye, you wouldn't be your beautiful self. Oh my goodness. Your eyes are so gorgeous. Have you changed them? And made them on whatever your title is.
I haven't changed them. I just put eyeshadow on them.
No, but you thought they were a problem, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I've been insecure about them, and I've gotten a lot better.
Is that the thing you're talking to your husband? Like, I've got to fix this? What was that?
No, it was something else. But I have complaints about this to my husband, too. And it's so funny because one time I asked my husband, you know, like, I wanted that assurance from him again. And I was like, what is your favorite feature about me? Like, what do you find most pretty about my face?
Yeah. What did he say?
And he likes my eyes.
Your eyes shine.
Oh, and I was just like,
this was me with my freckles, you know, my whole life. Oh, loathed my freckles, loathed everything about them until my late 30s. And I decided, hey, you know what? They're not too bad, actually. But Charlie said to me, that's the thing that I loved about you when I met you.
Do you know what? You know? I want to see the university level study on this because I bet you the thing that a woman is most insecure about herself is the thing that her husband loves the most. And because that's true in my house.
Is it really?
Totally.
Oh.
Totally. The thing Lisa's like, this is my worst feature. I'm like, that's why you're here.
Oh, that's so cute.
Joking about that's the only reason she's here. But you know what I'm saying? It's literally my fave.
That's so great. But also, I mean, it's great that's probably what they love. But I also think there is a danger in planting the poison that's in our head into other people's brains.
Yeah.
Like, I would never have even noticed, and I don't notice it because all I see is beauty, but people don't see it.
Oh, she had a word for it. She had called them hooded eyelids, and she was like,
it's diagnosed now.
Diagnosed, and it was called excess skin rather than my
beautiful. It's a problem.
That's what I was reading.
Yeah. You see?
No, it's on Wikipedia. It's official. There's drugs for it.
It's called something.
Yeah, there's surgeries for it now.
So you were telling me that I need to call my eyelids lovely.
I did.
And I was like, well, she wouldn't do it. I'm not. Maybe I don't need to call them excess and hooded, but I don't want to be
lovely.
She thought that was so prideful.
No, that's like, not prideful.
Nope.
Did you make your eyelids, Meadow? Did you make them? Did you think about the design?
I told you we were going to argue.
It's on now.
But who was it?
Hold on. There is the other extreme.
Was it God? And did he love you and do you love him? He's the artist.
Well, God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But if someone says, oh, I love your eyes, I'm not going to say, thanks, aren't they lovely?
No, you can say thank you and you can think in your head.
Yes, I'm going to say thank you and accept the compliment graciously.
And are you going to think in your head? Yes, and then finish it in your head because they're lovely.
I will accept the compliment.
You're not quite there yet.
We'll build to that.
I had to call my thighs lovely.
I actually did not like them. I understand you don't want to come across as proud, so you don't have to say it out loud. But in your head, Meadow, I want this as homework. If somebody says, oh, your eyes are so lovely, Meadow, you could say thank you. And in your head, I want you to say, God, you did make them lovely. Thank you.
I agree that we can say that at home and we can speak life over ourselves, but I'm not going to post that on Facebook and tell everyone my eyes are lovely.
No, but in your head, that's your homework, Meadow. In your head, I want you to agree.
Trim Healthy Mama. Superfood. Spotlight.
Hey, let's do the Superfood Spotlight. We always try to, when we have a guest, if we have time, and we've only got 2 or 3 minutes, yikes, to do something that our guests love as a Superfood Spotlight. And if there is anyone in this world that loves a food
more. We could juke it out, her and I.
Yeah, then chocolate. I don't know.
You don't know? We could juke it?
But I think I know you, and I know Meadow, and I have to say she beats you. She gets the gold, and you get the silver.
I could
Chocolate is a staple for me.
Yeah.
No, we need to talk. I'm out of chocolate. Yeah. That's a reason to get groceries.
Yeah, exactly.
Make we need to talk about trip.
First of all, the benefits of chocolate. Let's do that for 30 seconds. And then I want to talk about how you can eat chocolate and trim the healthy mama, because there's three ways.
Okay, well, thrombamine. Cocoa makes you happy. The fat in cocoa, the cocoa butter, is called the happy fat. It actually raises the serotonin. Cocoa increases the circulation of your body. So it's a beauty food because it increases circulation, therefore oxygen, to your skin.
See, Serene's not even looking at any info. She just knows her chocolate
business. Cocoa is so high in antioxidants. Cocoa. Oh, and also, Pearl, we went down to see the pods and suck the bubba around the cocoa.
In
cocoa
Guatemala,
is so much more than what meets the eye.
We discovered just how miraculous the cocoa, the cacao beans are. When we went down to Guatemala, we had no idea how God, like, created chocolate and then how it turns into this through a beautiful fermentation process that actually enhances all the goodness
of
the bean.
Cocoa is fermented.
Yes.
It's a fermented superfood. All you gut gurus that love fermentation.
Eat more chocolate.
Yes. And I want to say this. Just like there's coffee connoisseurs who love the different nuances of the different coffee beans from different regions, there's more nuances to be found in cocoa.
There are.
Than wine, than coffee. I mean, cocoa has, you can go high notes, low notes, medium notes, all kinds of, you know,
no,
you make
it's
a
just
symphony.
Two other benefits. Cocoa, I mean, chocolate can widen your blood vessels with a full of magnesium. So
yes.
It's really good for headaches and blood pressure.
If you get really,
those with high blood pressure.
Okay, let me, I was an early, I used to be, and I don't want to label myself, go early with my babies into labor. So during pregnancy, it was like part of my daily medicine to eat chocolate and to drink hot chocolate and soak my feet in magnesium at the same time.
Because it relaxes.
I read
your
that
uterus.
It was really good for pregnant women and their babies
too.
Yes. It's like one of the superfoods during pregnancy.
Now let's talk about how we can eat chocolate and keep it slimming, okay? Because there are three ways, really, on Trim Healthy Mama. The only really bad thing about chocolate, and the reason why it makes people gain weight, is because of the sugar content.
And the milk, sugar in the milk.
The sugar, yes. And the sugar mixes with the fat, the good fats, and it becomes, you know, more than a crossover. It spikes your blood sugar and then your body holds on to it.
Well, all the insulin comes to clean out that blood sugar and then it stores the fat that's in the bar.
So let's get rid of the sugar. So let's talk about three different ways. There is store-bought 85 or 90% chocolate. And Meadow said to me this morning, I prefer 90%.
Yeah.
Well, there are two types of people. People that love 90% and people that hate it, like my husband who thinks it's tree bark. But I think it's so rich and creamy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me too. 90, give me 100. I mean, that's like a cigar.
Serene
and
100.
I haven't even smoked a cigar and I never will, but I consider it like smokes.
And why? Even though it's got a tiny amount of sugar, but nothing, not enough to spike your blood sugar. And so all you're really getting is all the superfood goodness of the cacao bean. And it's pure.
But I mean, it's an acquired taste. You feel really like you could win a chess match.
Yeah.
Like when I eat that chocolate, I am intelligent.
But you know, Lindt has a beautiful 90% that I think tastes better than their 85,
the
right?
Oh,
it
yes.
tastes better than their 85%. You're getting less sugar. I don't know. It's so creamy. The second way, of course, is Trim Healthy Mama has come out with a naturally sweetened chocolate, so you can get your milk. And the dark is not 85 or 90. It's only about a 40, and it's sweeter, and it's just more normal.
I eat those too.
Yes. And so my favorite is the dark. Some people like are addicted to the milk, and that's their time every day. They're like, it keeps me on plan. I've had so many messages. Your chocolate bars keep me on plan.
And another way is to put the cocoa powder, the antioxidant-rich, not the Dutched alkalide way, but the process, the one that's been processed with alkali, but the actual natural cocoa powder, throwing it into smoothies, throwing it to your yuck yum bitties, throwing it
or
to your
making skinny chocolate, things like that. That's your third way, where you're using just cocoa or cacao.
Hot chocolate.
I do want to revisit the stevia sweetened chocolate thing again. I know that there are other brands out there, one in particular you all know, but I don't like to pull down other brands because starts with L. Listen, we sanctioned it because there was nothing else. We hadn't started ours. And yes, we say it's on plan, but it does have dextrin in it and it does have inulin. So, I mean, those people that get bloated stomachs from inulin, we don't have that in ours. Ours is pure. And dextrin is a form of sugar. There was nothing else out there and it's a small amount. So we said, okay, go ahead.
Happy.
It did. It kept people happy. And we're like, we want you to be happy and you don't have to buy our products. So we just want to say that that is sanctioned. Now, specifically, honestly speaking, ours is much more pure and natural and it doesn't have dextrins, but I just want you to know that. We're done. Meadow, you want to say anything else? Because you were rocking it today.
She's so profound and wise, and I just liked the lilt of her voice.
Yeah.
It was a nice break from us.
It is. She makes us behave a little better, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little more mannered.
Yeah, we're all a bit more
mannered. And I'm using more air in my voice.
I actually felt like I actually had these mental moments. Serene, just hush up a little bit.
Hush up.
She wasn't saying it to me, but her dignifiedness, it spoke.
There's
well,
a
she's sitting
in the room.
Here in a beautiful, my daughter sitting here in a beautiful pink dress, and she has her laptop nicely there. She'd done her little scriptures and her time, and she's
sitting there. And her toenails
there.
Are all nice.
I only found out about this last
night. Wearing matching shoes, and I'm barefoot with my old Nene tent.
Just an old mom.
But you know what? Like we're saying, it takes all types. Like, you know, it takes, we're all unique, and I think God loves us all, and I'm proud to have such a daughter, even though we're very different. We're similar too, but I just wanted to share you with everybody today, Meadow.
This is so much fun.
Yay.
Glad I got to do this.
See you here next week, guys. Trim mouth in mama my way, and then
I'll be trim mouth in mama to stay. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.